Hello, listeners. I'm David Blakesley, and I am welcoming you to listen in on Criterion Reflections, Episode 42, A 10-Year Retrospective. This is kind of an unusual podcast episode for me. I'm not going to be talking about any specific films, nor am I going to be doing a preview of what's coming up in Season 3, even though that is somewhat out there on the horizon. Instead, I'm going to be looking back, just kind of thinking out loud over the next however many minutes I decide to do this, about the 10-year expedition that I've been on, watching and thinking and writing about the Criterion Collection in its chronological order of original theatrical release. This journey that I've been on, this exploration, this long-range study, this self-education in the history of great world cinema, started in January of 2009. In the summer of 2008, I actually began the blog, and this was kind of a new direction for me. I had been collecting and watching and thinking about Criterion discs for probably the past couple of years or so prior to 2008, and finally decided I was going to take up movie blogging as a new outlet. I had spent probably the better part of the 2000s, even going back to the late 1990s, moderating some online discussion groups in the realm of religion, theology, culture, and politics. There was a group I moderated called Pomoxian, or Postmodern Christian. I think the archives are still out there. It was a Yahoo email group, but after the Bush presidency had pretty much run its course, I decided I'd sort of had enough of that. There were other things happening in my life that made me decide maybe a change of direction would be fruitful and productive and all of that. So I got into movie blogging, and the Criterion Collection had become sort of a thing for me in the mid-2000s into the later 2000s, later part of that decade. And basically, I decided to start a blog on blogger.com, and it was pretty humble, pretty low-key, just basically a place for me to collect my thoughts as I would watch a movie and write a few things about it and put it out there. Didn't really have any big ambitions, but I thought, well, this is a creative pastime, and I always like to have that kind of outlet that sort of says I'm not just a guy with a job or a guy with a family, but I'm a guy who has ideas and insights of a sort. And so I decided to make movie blogging my thing. And as the year went on, I thought, well, maybe I should come up with some kind of a scheme, because the first few months of my blog were pretty random. I just kind of picked movies out, watched them, wrote a few things. There were other movies I watched where I didn't write anything. I thought, well, let's have a little more focus, a little more discipline to this. And somewhere in towards the, I don't know if it's end of November, early December, whatever, but towards the end of 2008, I came up with this idea. What if I just stacked up all the Criterion releases in the order that they first came out in theaters and gave myself a bit of an education in the history of cinema? Because I also recognized once I started reading and researching that I had a lot to learn. I was just pretty much your standard suburban movie watcher guy. I mean, I had had my period in my late teens, early 20s of engagement with high-end art house cinema, and then a few years later I was married and raising kids, and all of that commotion was going on, and so I became just more of a standard Cineplex popcorn munching movie watcher. But there was always this little interest that I had in offbeat, independent, underground, edgy type of cinema as well. And the Criterion Collection, once I discovered that, kind of really fed that interest quite vigorously. And so, you know, even though I considered myself somebody with some intelligence and maybe even a small level of expertise just in terms of my lengthy engagement with, you know, the cultural, political, theological critique that I'd been waging over the previous 10 years, Criterion really expanded those boundaries quite a bit as I started encountering cinema from other nations in past decades and recognizing there was a much longer, radical, subversive, provocative cultural agenda going on out there. And it came from a lot of different perspectives. It wasn't just this capitalism versus communism type of thing, or the free world versus the Iron Curtain, or any of that nonsense. It was very diverse and multicultural, and I really was eager to engage with this, but also to do it in a systematic way. And so that was the origins of my scheme. I created a Word document, which later became a spreadsheet, where I just lined up all the Criterion releases I could find. I mean, all that I had, and then also those that were advertised on the old Criterion.com website. And I used the IMDb database to research when those films first hit public screenings. And that was the origin of my sequence that kind of started me out with Nanook of the North in early January of 2009. That was the oldest film at the time that Criterion had released. So it was a 1925 silent film. There were a few others, The Passion of Joan of Arc, Body and Soul, an old Paul Robeson, Oscar Michaud film, a few others, Pandora's Box, early silence. I don't have them all up on my screen right now, but I'll probably refer to some of my archives and spreadsheets as I kind of go along here. So 2009 was a pretty pivotal year for me. There were a lot of things happening in my life. My wife and I became empty nesters. My youngest son went off to college at University of Michigan, and it created in me a desire to really branch out and really invest myself in kind of a new pursuit, a new pastime. And so I've already talked a little bit about that, but 2009 was a year of great productivity in terms of my blogging pursuits and the different expressions and explorations and impressions that these great movies made upon me. I think I created over 103 blog posts in 2009, and it was a pretty memorable year for me in so many ways. Because 103 blog posts, as I go to my criterionreflections.blogspot.com, 2009 was just a year of really rapidly chugging through 26 years or so of cinema history. I ended that year talking about Ozu's early summer, 1951 film. So if you think about Nanook of the North all the way to Ozu in 1951, that's a lot of movies to watch. That's a lot of cinematic history. We've got the late silent era. We've got French poetic realism. We've got Italian neorealism. We've got the war years. We've got film noir. We've got great films by so many pivotal directors. You know, Hitchcock's British films, Jean Renoir, early Kurosawa. Just a smorgasbord of amazing movies that I really just plowed through so quickly. And I'm sure I'm overlooking quite a few others as well. But that was my foundation. 2009 was a year of just kind of immersing myself in writing about a movie every 3-4 days or so. Sometimes I would write about multiple movies in a day or two, and sometimes I would take a little bit of a break. But I encountered a lot of incredible films for the first time. And that sort of set me up for my encounter with the Criterion Cast website in the spring of 2010, when I pretty much think it was Ryan Gallagher who contacted me. We had both become aware of each other's work. I, of course, was always doing Criterion-related searches on the internet, looking for links for movies that I was reviewing. And somewhere along the way, I stumbled upon the Criterion Cast website, which was a weekly podcast featuring Ryan Gallagher, Rudy Obias, and Travis George, and three cool younger guys, younger than me anyways, who would just get together, I think on Friday nights, and talk about a Criterion movie, and they would weave in related films and Criterion related news and recommendations and just chit chat. And I really enjoyed the banter that they generated amongst themselves. And of course, it was just a great experience for me listening to three other guys who somewhat knew what they were talking about get into films pretty much at the similar level that I was as well. And so that led to me being invited by Ryan to contribute to one of their episodes on Jean Renoir's Boudou Saved from Drowning, which was a film I had already blogged about, and that must have been probably why they decided to invite me. And I thought, that's cool. I've been told that I have a radio voice. I'd heard that many times over the years. So I thought, well, podcasting, I think I can do that. So I went out to Best Buy, bought myself like a $10 microphone, and plugged it into my computer and thought, well, I've just shown them what I got. Until I heard the audio playback and found that a cheap microphone is one of those adages, you know, you get what you pay for. And it sounded pretty terrible, but they didn't want to just delete the episode. They did issue an apology for the poor sound quality, but that there was nothing that could be done. But I did learn a lesson from that and got a slightly better microphone for subsequent podcast appearances. So that then led to me writing the Journey Through the Eclipse series, which was a column idea that Ryan and I hashed out, as he wondered if I would be interested in becoming a regular contributor to their site via the blogging written review format. And I had actually considered at some point weaving the Eclipse series into my Criterion chronology, but then decided against it because I kind of wanted to keep things moving. But I thought, you know, the Eclipse series is pretty interesting to me, and I would like to spend some more time looking into those films. And so the idea that we came up with was that I would, rather than just reviewing the boxes as a whole, I would just take each film as a standalone release and write a review and an article about that film, including screen caps and, you know, just miscellaneous type of comments that would give the films a little bit more individual love and attention rather than the kind of one paragraph capsule reviews that they tend to generate when the new Eclipse series releases were coming out on a regular basis. And so that became a very fruitful outlet for me, but it was kind of competition with my regular Criterion Reflections blog. That led me to sort of diminish the output of Criterion Reflections quite a bit. I went from 103 releases in 2009 to 68 in 2010, down to 47 in 2011, and 32 in 2012. And that's because my commitments and involvement with the Criterion Cast website just continued to grow. It was kind of an alternating back and forth type of thing. And in 2012, in addition to my Journey Through the Eclipse series, which again, I pretty much kept a pretty steady weekly pace writing that up, I also began the Eclipse Viewer podcast, which was another kind of venture to explore the Eclipse series, where I would talk about the whole box set. And Ryan, I believe, again, hooked me up with a guy named Rob Nishimura. Rob lived in Japan, had been educated, and had lived for a considerable amount of time in both the United States and also down in Panama, but was now resettled back in Japan, where he was running a small business. He's a graphic designer, pretty talented artist and filmmaker, and also a parent of young children. And so for several months, he and I collaborated to create the Eclipse Viewer podcast as a new feed, a new source of information on CriterionCast.com. Toward the end of the year, Rob decided that his priorities and commitments precluded any further contributions to the Eclipse Viewer podcast. So he and I very amicably parted ways, and I decided, okay, it was a good run, it was fun, but I guess I just won't be doing that anymore. And I got back into the Journey Through the Eclipse series, as well as my own blog, and figured that would be fine. But towards the end of the year, or not, I guess it was in 2013, that Trevor Barrett contacted me, and he was just a listener. He was an online fan, I guess you could call him. And he and I struck up an email relationship, just kind of a friendship. I recognized that he and I had some pretty common perspectives, both family guys, and just had some really similar perspectives and outlooks that I felt very compatible with him. And he offered to assist me in reviving the Eclipse Viewer podcast. And we recorded an episode or two just to kind of get things started, just to test the waters. And it was great. I really, to this day, greatly admire and really enjoy Trevor's contributions, and my gratitude to him is pretty much inexpressible. He kind of got me up off the mat. Not that I was feeling particularly defeated or downcast about any of that, but he gave me a boost of encouragement to kind of get back in the ring a bit, and I will always appreciate that very, very much. So Trevor and I continued the Eclipse Viewer podcast all the way through to the completion, where we got through the late Ozu box set, our last one of the main releases, and then we picked it up earlier in 2018. Back in 2017 is when we did the late Ozu, completed the entire Eclipse sequence, if you include the episode that I did with Rob at the beginning in 2012. And then with the release of the two most recent Eclipse series sets, we recorded episodes this year in 2018 to kind of keep ourselves current with that particular line of DVDs. But I kind of digress a little bit here, because there were obviously quite a few other years in between 2012, 2013, and now. So what was happening with my blog? Well, I did pick up the pace a little bit in 2013. I recorded 42 posts there. And those 42 posts in 2013, as I look it up here, they took me from Winter Light, a 1962 film, and all the way up until Kwaidan in a 1964 film that I finished at the end of 2013. 2014 was another down year as far as productivity was concerned. I only did 30 posts that year, starting with some Stan Brakhage films, Dog Star Man in 1964, ending with As Long As You've Got Your Health, a 1966 film. So I was kind of crawling through the 60s over the course of those middle years of this decade. Meanwhile, I was continuing to contribute to CriterionCast.com, through my podcast, through the columns, although I think the journey through the Eclipse series kind of slowed down a little bit because the frequency of releases just became that much slower. Let's take a look here at the archive and see what I can find. My most recent contribution to that series was in March of 2015. I wrote about Oshima's Violence at Noon, pretty excellent and memorable Japanese film, probably the most significant outgrowth of that particular post is that it was a collaboration with this guy named Aaron West. He was, how did I describe him, as a fan and movie blogger. Criterion fan, David collaborates with blogger and Criterion fan Aaron West in this review of Oshima's pivotal film from 1966. So Aaron was just beginning his entry into the Criterion scene, and of course Aaron's become a pretty major presence in the online community, and very thankful that he and I have had a chance to work together in so many different ways over these years. So Aaron and I, what we did was kind of a dialogue. If you go back to that post, you'll see Aaron's comments in italics and mine in, you know, just kind of normal typeface there. And it's a pretty good analysis. I was pretty impressed by Aaron's chops there. And, you know, he's certainly gone on to prove his mettle and caliber quite a bit since then. But that's kind of an auspicious way for me to wrap up that series. There were a number of other Eclipse films that I never got around to writing reviews on. I don't really see myself picking that back up. I become more of a podcaster than a blogger these days, but we'll never say never, so right how that goes, you know how it is. So in 2016, I made a pretty fateful decision to decide. I decided to wrap up my blogging on the blogspot.com website because I just felt like it's not getting a whole lot of exposure. I felt a little hamstrung by some of the limitations of that site, or at least my limitations in terms of how to work with it, make it creative. And I thought, why not just put this on Criterion Cast? And so once I reached the end of the 1968 era, or the beginning of 68, I should say, I did a review of Oshima's Death by Hanging. I guess Oshima seems to be a bit of a deal breaker for me or something. I feel like I watch an Oshima film and I have to do something different, right? So I did Oshima's Death by Hanging, but I decided after that that I would do the rest of my 1968 blog posts on CriterionCast.com. So I did that for a year. I covered the year of 1968 on Criterion Cast. And when I got to 1969, the first film up in my queue was Dillinger Is Dead, Marco Ferreri's very warped, very provocative, upsetting, to me anyways, what I would consider a masterpiece film. It's a really powerful work that spoke to me on a very gut level. And what I found was that it was very difficult for me to get in writing what I was feeling and thinking about that movie. And it kind of maybe tickled a little bit of an itch that I'd been feeling to maybe move more assertively into the world of podcasting as my main outlet. I really enjoyed the immediacy of it, the ability to talk with other people, you know, the free-form spontaneity of it all. And so it, again, kind of kicked into motion my mental gears, saying, what can I do to move things along? I was finding that the process of writing was becoming just a little bit more cumbersome for me. I think I'm still a pretty decent writer, but I also moved into a new job right around that time where I was spending a lot of time writing policies, procedures, kind of more technical type of stuff, and wanted to find a way to not spend so much of my life at a keyboard on a computer. So podcasting became kind of the next stage for me to explore. And the idea of transforming Criterion Reflections into a podcast dawned on me and really has flourished way beyond my craziest expectations. I put out a call to say, hey, people, I'm looking at starting a podcast. Who would like to get in on it with me and talk about these great films? And just immensely gratified by the response that I got. Jordan Esso was a guy out on the West Coast who had been apparently listening to my work for a while, had enjoyed it, and he was the first guy who contacted me to talk about Dillinger Is Dead in particular. And man, I can never repay my debt to Jordan for helping me kick this thing off in such a memorable way. I did a little audition recording because, again, a lot of people who've expressed interest in this I've never met in real life, of course, and really had not even interacted with all that much online and like social media and stuff. But my goodness, what an amazing experience this has been for me these past couple of years, starting in, I guess it was the spring of 2017, or no, it was the fall of 2017, and then into the winter of 2018, we finished up season one, which was a 10-episode run where I had this format of cramming several films into sort of a season of the year, I continued working through this spreadsheet that I had set up all those years ago. And at that point, I was up to the year 1969. And rather than doing one film per episode, which to me seemed like it would be kind of a slow crawl, I thought, why not just do kind of shorter reviews, compile them in one episode, so that we can, again, keep things moving along. But as much as I liked that format conceptually, it turned out to be pretty cumbersome, because once we got talking, I would easily fill up 45 minutes to an hour just talking about a single film. And when it got down to editing, I didn't really see a whole lot of, you know, chaff that I could whittle out and leave on the cutting room floor, so to speak. I wanted our listeners to kind of hear the full range of the conversation. You know, I would edit out some of the pauses and bloopers and things of that sort, but I really didn't feel like I wanted to get too brutal with cutting out some of the sidelines and rabbit trails that we would chase, because even those were pretty fun and interesting. So what ended up happening for that first season was we'd have like these, you know, 2.5, 3 hour plus episodes, which I recognized were a big ask on our listeners to say, hey, just hang with me and listen to 3 hours plus of podcast, including conversations about a couple of films that maybe you've never seen. And so as much as I enjoyed that format and that season, and I enjoyed the musical interludes that I would weave into each episode, kind of putting those films in kind of their pop cultural context with hit songs of that era, I thought, well, for season two, we're going to have to change the formula a little bit. And so we went to one film per episode for the most part until we got to the last episode of the year, which was a compilation episode talking about various short films that were released over the course of 1970, which was the theme for season two. And that turned into another 3.5 hour episode, because again, even short films generate a lot of conversation. So, wow, that's just a look back. But I do want to just kind of wax a little philosophical here, as I've encapsulated sort of the journey in terms of the different formats, the different outlets, the different styles that I've used to approach these films. I just want to talk a little bit about, why do I even do this? I mean, what is the point of all of this movie blogging and podcasting and getting erudite and deep and pontificating on these classics of world cinema? And I just really have to say that, you know, for me, fundamentally, it just comes down to sort of an individual pursuit first and foremost. These movies have impacted me in a majorly significant life-altering way. I talked a little bit about my life before blogging and podcasting, and I think I've always been pretty engaged with the world around me, pretty attentive to what's happening and what it all means, and at least trying to make some kind of sense of it all, interpreting the significance of stuff that goes on in the world. But cinema is in itself a really superior art form, I believe. It gives the outlet for so many talented people to make a statement, to connect and communicate with people from all walks of life. And of course, much of cinema is very commercial, very mainstream, mawkish, sentimental, even crass and vulgar, and it's sheer focus on just making money. We just want to get as many butts in the seats as we can and maximize the return on investment. And so there is a certain playing to the lowest common denominator that's always been a part of cinema. Not that there's anything wrong with that, right? But at the same time, it's also, I think, a high form of discourse, even though novels certainly provide more opportunity to go on at length by a single visionary, creative person. There is a superiority in the written word that allows a full depth of discourse, whether that's fiction or nonfiction. The visual arts and fine arts certainly have their power as well. And music, of course, is an incredibly profound method of communication. But to me, cinema is the one medium that kind of captures and incorporates the best of all worlds, because all those disciplines are represented, as well as the performing artists and the editors and the visual compositions, the cinematography and all of that. So yeah, it's just a coming together of high level sensibilities that to me is just so compelling, so engaging, and it really demands our attention. And so what I've taken a lot of satisfaction from in this process is, first of all, I guess just the persistence of it all. I set a goal 10 years ago to get through the Criterion Collection in chronological order. That goal has certainly been modified and diverted in some ways, because I do a lot of other things besides just talk about, you know, the films in their chronological sequence. But I do take a lot of satisfaction in having stuck with it and not just dropped out at some point along the way. Now, whether or not I ever get all the way to 2018 or whatever year I finally, you know, start reviewing Criterion films that were released the same year that I'm speaking, I'm not as focused on that particular outcome, because I do believe that my deepest fascination and engagement is probably with older films. I may even get through the 70s and say, okay, I'm going to start being more selective and not doing a review of everything, because once we get to the 80s, there are some cultural changes that go on in the film industry that make me wonder if I really want to dedicate so much of my time to each and every Criterion-affiliated release that came out in those years. That's a long ways off. I'm just now getting ready to launch into 1971, so no need to answer those questions definitively one way or the other. But I'm not in a particular hurry. I do also, of course, like to engage with newer films, but there seems to be a fascination with me on my end with these more formative foundational influences of things that were happening in the 60s and 70s, when I myself was a young person being shaped by that particular world and society that was not just happening in the United States, but also just around the globe. So that's kind of my jam. That's my sweet spot. And I'm going to continue enjoying that exploration of 1970s films, certainly for the next several years, because I don't think I'll be getting through that decade much quicker than that. Also, the various guests that have been so graciously willing to join me in these conversations, my goodness, I mean, I don't want to start naming names because inevitably I'll forget to mention somebody. So let me just collectively express my abiding love and thankfulness to everyone who has gotten on board and said, yeah, David, I'll talk with you about a movie or more, several. And, you know, how stimulating your contributions have been, how they challenge and provoke me to look ever deeper, ever closer, and just have opened my eyes to new angles and perspectives that I probably would have missed if it had just been me talking and writing to myself. So yeah, that's just been such an amazing blessing. I'll just use that word, because it seems to summarize how delightful and unexpected and undeserved and gratifying it has been for me to be a host here with people who want to jump on the train and delve into a film or two from a bygone era. So I do look forward to a continued collaboration, and I'm very open, of course, to new voices getting in the mix. Would definitely like to get a little bit more diversity. There's a lot of white guys who like to talk with me, and as a white guy myself, it's cool. I dig it, but I would like to find ways to connect with women, people of different ethnic backgrounds and international perspectives as well. So that's maybe one new area I want to explore, because those points of view are important to me and have a lot to teach me. And I do consider myself an ongoing student, more so than an authority on any of the things that I talk about or write about, as the case may be, when it comes to, you know, great cinema. So, you know, I guess maybe that is a place for me to start wrapping things up. I just want to express my appreciation again, and to just really encourage us in this online cinephilia community to bring out our best. I mean, we live in some pretty troubled and even awful times in some ways. We see power and corruption and exploitation revealing itself on so many different levels, and it can get very discouraging when we feel like life is, you know, heading into a downward trend, maybe even a hopeless spiral that we can never quite pull ourselves out of. And yet, cinema teaches us that the world, our societies, and all different nations have faced incredibly dire crises on so many different levels. War, poverty, devastation, disease, famine, you know, endemic criminality, cynicism, betrayal. I mean, there are so many awful, horrible things that people have been experiencing for such a long time, and yet life persists, humanity abides, you know, civilization recovers. And I guess I just need to continue to cling to that more hopeful perspective. I think even though I enjoy my acidic bleakness, existential dread on film as much as most people, maybe there are people who enjoy it a little bit more than I do, so I won't say as much as anybody, but I can take that. I see it. I get that point. But I also do want to cling to that underlying sense of hope and positivity and optimism that at the end of the day, good will triumph over evil, or at least there will be enough good detectable and palpable in this world to serve as a bit of a life raft to get us through it as best we can for however many years we are granted in this existence. Cinema is a way of sharing experience that our bodies and minds may never otherwise have. And so it is a very worthwhile pastime. I spend a lot of hours of my free time thinking and watching and communicating about movies. That could be a pretty facile waste of time if those movies were not well selected. So I do challenge all of us to think about that as well, not in a scolding or arrogant or condescending way, but hopefully just a reminder that we are all stewards of a limited time bank, and we do well to choose wisely. I hope that listening to me talk to you about film is a worthwhile use of your time. I will strive to continue to make it such to the best of my ability, because I also benefit from hearing what others have to say about great films. They focus my mind and my eyes and my ears and my heart just a little bit more than if it was just me watching them all by myself with nobody to talk to about all of it. So thank you for your listening in, your indulgence, and your support. I doubt that there's too many people who are listening to this episode who haven't already been along with me on the ride. And whether you give me direct feedback or just a thumbs up and a nod of the head says that was a pretty cool conversation, it all means something to me. I pick it up subconsciously or consciously, however those things communicate. I feel you out there, and I don't necessarily need a mass audience or huge accolades. I just want to know that there's somebody out there with their ears inclined in my direction, and it's good to know that you're out there. I do want to hear from you, and if you've got a positive thought or expression you want to send my way, find me at Criterion Reflections on CriterionCast.com. Criterion Reflections, the group, is my Facebook outlet. That's probably my main public social media outreach these days. Maybe I'll have to open that up because Facebook is kind of getting problematic as time goes on. And I would like to find other ways to connect with people. I am on Twitter on Criterion Refs if you want to try me that way, although I'm not very active on that site either. So anyways, onward into the new year, and 2019 should be an adventurous time for all of us. And let's just keep on making it better. Peace and joy in your ongoing reflections. Thank you. And we'll see you with season 3 in early 2019. Until then, I'm signing off. This is David Blakesley for the Criterion Reflections Podcast. Thank you for listening. Bye-bye.